And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Sweet world, welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It is film session. Incredible intro there from JD. And today we're breaking down LeBron James' Space Jam, A New Legacy. I'm JD Skeets. Alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Very impressed. JD getting real serious with the most non-serious movie out there.
Got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
Hello, the international man of mystery, taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Yes, and the man making that magic happen, he's our resident film critic. It's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Guys, quick housekeeping. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube if you haven't already. Email us any of your questions and comments about this movie or anything NBA related or not to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on social media, both Twitter and Instagram at No Dunks Inc. And go to grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Immaculate items, always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Okay, film session. Oh my, it's been a while since we've talked about a movie. And we are talking about Space Jam, A New Legacy, released last week, July 2021. Director is Malcolm D. Lee. I read that he came in pretty late on this project. Maybe we'll get into that. Starring, of course, LeBron James. We got Don Cheadle, Cedric Joe as Dom. Another Dom in a movie we're watching. And Bugs Bunny and his Looney Tunes squad. The IMDb synopsis. A rogue artificial intelligence kidnaps the son of famed basketball player LeBron James, who then has to work with Bugs Bunny to win a basketball game. I want to know, first off, did anybody of the group go and watch this at the movie theater like that awesome film session intro we just saw? I had too much popcorn, Lee. I did, but everybody else seems to be sort of shaking their heads. No, is this everybody else watching at home?
Yeah, well, for me, HBO Max isn't available in Denmark, where I am right now.
Yes.
So I faced the real possibility of having to go to a cinema. I was Googling cinemas in Denmark here in Copenhagen to see where I was going to go. And then I realized on my Google Fi phone, it's got a VPN. And my wife actually was the one who told me about it, which meant I was able then to basically just, you know, tweak the settings in there. And I watched it on a train. I thought I'm going to have to go to a cinema. This is going to be interesting to see. I haven't been in one for so long. But turns out didn't have to. So okay. No is the answer to your question.
Okay. And Tass, Trey, and JD, you guys all, I guess, downloaded this on... what, HBO Max, I assume?
HBO Max for me, yeah.
All right.
That's right. Lee watched it on a train, and I watched it in the rain as it was pouring down here, enjoying a little Space Jam, A New Legacy, the second movie I watched in the new house. The first one, Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Wow.
Only sequels here, Skeets. That's all I'm watching.
Well, is this even a sequel?
No, okay, good
not.
Point.
He
good
says
point.
It's not. It's a standalone movie. Okay. Now, my second question is, you guys all have kids. Did you all watch this with your children, which are of varying ages? Or did you watch it solo, just a grown man watching LeBron and his son try and defeat an algorithm? Anybody watch it with kids? Start with you, Trey.
Yeah, I watched it with my kids. I've been excited for this one to come out. We watched Space Jam last summer for our film session. And, you know, I kind of wanted to make sure that I watched it with them at that time, too, because I didn't want to have to watch it another time. I want to be able to get the family time and the work time in at the exact same time. So, yeah, you know, we were excited to see a new movie come out. They were very excited to see it going. As the screen started rolling, Ada says, I can't wait. And Isla said, I want to see Lola Bunny. I was like, this is great. This is going to be the best movie of all time. That was 1 second in, though, Skeets. Just cool. 1 second in.
Okay. Tass, what about you? You have young kids. Did you watch it with either of them, I guess?
I started solo. I didn't want Zoe especially to ruin my serious film watching time. I didn't want her to ruin it. But it worked out perfectly. I was watching on a Friday night, and I got about an hour in, and I fell asleep. I'm just done. There was no way I could watch the second hour, so I went to bed. And, you know, the second hour is the graphic, is the basketball portion of the film. Yeah. So Zoe loved it. Zoe loved every single minute of it. As I'm getting from Trey here, I don't think she would have liked that first hour whatsoever. Like, she wouldn't have been able to hang, even though she'll watch anything. She'll watch Spider-Man versus Venom for 2.5 hours straight. But I don't think she could hang with that first hour. So I think it worked out absolutely perfectly for us.
Okay, Lee, we know you watched it with your kids on the train. That was a part of your setup. So
yep.
That's good. And JD, you have older kids. So I'm really fascinated to know, did they sit down and watch this with you?
Jackson watched it with me, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lincoln didn't want to at all, or?
Nah.
Okay.
He was cooking, I think.
Okay.
He was cooking
excellent.
In the kitchen. Nice.
Well, all right. Well, first impression then. JD, just we'll start with you of Space Jam and New Legacy. What'd you think? Because you just watched it recently.
yeah.
What's your first take?
Garbage is really what I have to say. I mean, like, I didn't expect to hate it as much as I hate it. I expected definitely to hate it. I thought it would be a vast improvement over Space Jam, which it definitely is not. It's way worse than Space Jam, the original, which I hated. So it was a very...
So you're saying you were shocked by how bad this movie was.
I
knew it was going to be bad, because it's not really
it was
for
be
you.
Bad.
It's made for kids, but you were even dumbfounded just how garbage it was.
Yeah, the problem is that I allowed myself hope, because then when I heard the rumors about, oh, they're going to go through there's going to be all these cameos and all this, you know, the serververse, as it turned out to be, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Maybe that it was done beautifully on the Lego movie, which is an awesome, way better movie, obviously, than this. But this same sort of thing where there's literally hundreds of characters from different IP in the same movie, and they pulled it off to perfection. Mm-hmm. And also a corporate, you know, movie, a commercial for toys, basically the Lego movie, and an infinitely better movie. So I was kind of excited. I thought, okay, they could be really creative with this, and they just weren't at all, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Trey, what do you think? First impression.
Yeah, I'm pretty much exactly with JD on this one. I wasn't expecting much from Space Jam, A New Legacy, but I was expecting it to be better than original Space Jam, and I was expecting LeBron to be light years better than Michael Jordan was in the original Space Jam. And after watching it, I felt like I was just watching the first Space Jam again. You know, quality-wise, I was like, well, you know, they made another Space Jam. That's basically what it felt like to me. It was like, if I would have had no idea going in, maybe I would have enjoyed it more. But I had a little bit of expectations that it was at least going to be a somewhat improvement on the original. But I don't know that it improved necessarily on anything. But I don't know. Ask me again in 25 years, Skeets. I guess maybe that's the key here, is watch this once every couple of 25 years. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm knowing going in that there was going to be IP all over the place. You got to get ready for, Oh, I remember that. I've seen that. Who was that? What was that? And to me, sometimes it felt a little overwhelming to try and keep track of all that stuff. And that's the main thing for adults, right? We're saying this is a movie for kids. We'll get into it. Is it? Is this a movie for kids? I don't know. Do kids know a lot about Casablanca? I doubt it, but you gotta know. If you're an adult watching this movie, you better know all the stuff that's going on in the background, because there's not a lot else for you.
So, Lee, again, just your first impression, did your kids like it? Were they like, hey, that was a good movie. That was fun. Were they laughing? Were they like, you know?
They were, a couple of times they were absolutely hysterical with laughter, which is great because that improves your experience because you know they're having a great time.
Do you remember the parts?
Yeah.
Well, please. The best one I think was Yosemite Sam where he says, shoot the ball. And and there was another one, but I have drawn a blank on it right now, but it was later on. I think it was something to do with Roadrunner, you know, as he takes off. But, you know, they love that sort of stuff. But see, you know the movie Home Alone, obviously we all know that movie, right?
Yeah.
It builds up to the last 20 minutes, half an hour, where all this stuff happens in the house. I forgot how far into the movie you have to get before the good stuff like that happens.
Right, okay. So you mean kids, when the wet bandits are in the house.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Defending his house.
And all the chaos happens. That's like, you rewind that with kids because they just want to watch that last half an hour because that's hilarious. And so, yeah, the build-up to get to the game where I knew it was going to be, you know, the sort of part of the movie where it was like in Space Jam 1 where, okay, they're now playing the game.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, we got to get to that. We got to get to that, guys. Let's
move
it
on. Took a while.
The X's and O's.
Yeah, like, let's just get to the craziness. That's what we want, you know. Like, in Space Jam 1, you know, the bull knocks someone, I can't remember who it is, right out of the arena, you know. Like, that sort of stuff is what I was like, come on, let's get to it. Even the storyline at the start was just a little bit heavy, I thought, for me.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I was like, wow, we're going that path. I mean, Space Jam 1 was just like the guy trying to steal their talent, wasn't he? I mean, I was watching it and I was thinking like, that was a completely, you know, fabricated, imaginative thing. This one was a real father and son, like, let me be me. No, you were going to be my... I was just like, whoa.
I had a glimmer of hope when that happened. I was like, okay, all right. It's not LeBron James is walking in. He's kind of a dick. Like he's a dick dad all of a sudden. I'm like, okay, this is a bit of a risk. And then Warner Brothers. And the next thing that happens is Warner Brothers basically saying, yeah, we just allow algorithms to create our stories, which is a rumor anyways. Like it's just like the. So I thought, okay, this is maybe super self-aware and maybe there's going to be a nice little message at the end. I do like the message of, hey, let me be me sort of thing. You know, and LeBron sort of taking that hard edge, like basketball dad right off the bat. I was like, okay, we might have something here. That fell flat very, very, very fast. But
I mean, I think the message, you know, there is a part for it in a movie. I just wasn't expecting. I was expecting just basically a continuation of Space Jam, of just some sort of, you know, monster trying to steal their power. Not exactly the same, but in a similar sort of, you know, similar sort of vein. But
I think what you're saying, Lee, is you thought this movie was going to be way sillier than it actually was.
Yes,
totally.
Yes,
totally.
Yes.
It is sort of heavy. And I'm with you. I didn't expect that.
No.
Like that's where it definitely differs than the first one. But it goes like, and like you said there, JD, like at first you're like, okay, that's a little different. Oh, maybe there's actually something to this, some substance or whatever. But it's like trying to do three or four things at once. And I think it just like drops all of them, both the silliness with the characters and then, you know, the heavy father son part. And it's just like, it's just trying to juggle way too many balls. And I think they all drop in the end. But Tass, what was your first impression here?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. It fell short. There wasn't enough humor. There wasn't comic relief really at all.
It wasn't that funny.
No, there was no Bill Murray. I don't care if it's a remake or not. There was no funny guy. There was no character development. Even like the Goon Squad didn't have what the Monstars had. You know, at least we saw them, you know, throwing the ball around like they're Philip Seymour Hoffman chucking it off the backboard, like that kind of thing. You know, that was funny. I mean, the funniness was in a few lines. There was a few lines that LeBron delivered or whatever. Like, you know, I think there was that part where LeBron fell, I think it was during the Warner 3000 presentation, and his hair flipped over and his beard was on his head. That's a good hair joke.
But I can't believe that I laughed at that too. Man, his head was upside down. This is crazy.
But it was the baldness on his chin. It's a LeBron hair joke, man. I'm a ball player. I'm not an actor. You're acting. That's funny. But like, there wasn't enough witty humor for adults. I mean, there just wasn't. It wasn't Sausage Party. You know, it wasn't even close to it. Look, like, what was better were the graphics. The graphics were obviously so much better, but that's it's inherent. You know, that's going to be better. But that stuff was really good. But I was blessed that I fell asleep from the first hour, after the first hour, because it was like I had two movie watching experiences.
Yeah.
You know, the first hour was like, okay, I've just, you know, fallen asleep on a Friday night in front of this, you know, not so great development of a storyline. And then I got to watch the basketball part with my daughter, who really enjoyed, who never ever watches a basketball game, but was so into all the graphics and all the effects, which were super cool. That part was really, really cool. But yeah, why get to that an hour in? What are we waiting for? There wasn't a lot of development that we needed to wait for.
Are you saying the game should have been longer?
Because we should have got to it faster.
Okay, I guess. And then the movie would have been over sooner. But
yeah.
I checked. I paused when they start. When the game start, when the game clock runs out and they start to convene, I paused it just to see how far are we into this thing. 57 minutes, and then there was 57 minutes left. It was 57 on both sides. And I was just like, this game is going to go for, credits, but that's 50 minutes I'm going to have to watch this stupid game? Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
It was like, it was split in the middle. It was perfect for me because I fell asleep. It really was. And I thought exactly the same thing, JD, because I had to pick it up and I had to manually look at it. I didn't even pause to see it. But usually I'm a scrupulous about my time. I gotta know, this is usually the shortest of the four major sports. I want to know how long things are. So I did see that it was an hour. I'm like, this is gonna last an hour? But it was, the basketball part, I gotta say, was entertaining. Entertaining is the word. I'm not saying it's a good film, but it was entertaining for the basketball part.
Right.
Just because of the graphics were good. They were really good.
Well, come on, guys. It takes a lot. It takes a long time to come back from down 1,000 plus points. It's going to take a while in the comeback. Sure, we don't know any of the rules for this game or where the power-ups are coming from, and you actually come back pretty quickly when we get really into it. But, I mean, that was a significant lead that the Goon Squad built up there. Pretty impressive stuff in the first half from Al G Rhythm there on the sidelines.
Yes, what a name. We're already shooting on this movie. We'll get to like the biggest issues and the dumbest scenes, but let's start like positive Pete's here. You said Taz, the CGI. JD, do you agree with that? Like the look of this movie, at least the graphics and what they did, you know, the basketball game and other stuff, did that please you?
Yes and no. The visual effects are amazing, and I did like the 2D style going into the 3D style. Animated LeBron was pretty good. And when they're in Toon World or whatever, and then when they go to different worlds, the Wonder Woman area was different than the Superman and Batman area. And that was kind of fun that they mixed it up that way. And then making the Looney Tunes actually 3D was, well, a little bit creepy, kind of cool to see as well.
Right.
During the game, I found it, all of the cameos on the sidelines and stuff, it was so detailed and there was so much there that I was barely watching the game. I was just like, who's that? Who am I seeing over there? Like,
totally. Who's that guy?
It was distracting. Like, and it was a problem. But honestly, I don't think I was missing very much. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just sort of one of those, if you've ever been on one of those motion rides at a amusement park, it just sort of waves over you and you're just like, cool. I guess that happened and they just got 1,000 points. Okay. How'd that happen again? It was just like...
Maybe That was it. It was a blowout, so they had to put something in the in the screen for people to watch. But,
I was in the movie theater watching it with my godkids and my buddy Grish, and he did say this one is over when they were done.
And he was wrong. He was wrong.
And he was—he's always wrong. He called it, and it was too soon. They came back. Yeah, Lee, who was your favorite? Hey, that's so and so that you saw in the background or whatever scene. What was your favorite part?
Well, Pennywise. He or she is having a bit of a moment in our house right now, and my 4-year-old.
Really?
Yeah. He spotted him, and he's like, "There's Pennywise." And they so yeah, because LeBron was Pennywise once for Halloween, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
So and we were the same. We were just looking around. Oh yeah, we saw the Scooby Doo in there. The Mystery Machine.
We had the mask. Jim Carrey.
The Mystery Machine was, I think, parked in the arena too. I don't know how it. I don't know how it got in there, but it was in there. So yeah, they were just sort of pointing out the ones that they saw. I was like, yep. So it's similar to JD. Like you're sort of like, I mean, we know they're going to come back and win at some point, so we can just start looking around now for the other stuff, the other distractions. And
I love how JD was trying to watch the basketball game, the one basketball game. He was trying to take in every play.
Yeah, it just like I didn't mind the change in the scoring system, like, you know, style points. I thought okay. Yeah. But again, when you're up, I think it was 1,039 to 37 at halftime. I'm just like, well, you've dug yourself a hole. You've dug yourself a hole now because we know what's going to happen. Like, maybe just keep it a little bit closer somehow. We could give it some sort of intrigue. But it's like, if you're going to give up 1,000 points in the first half and then come back and score 1,000 in the second half, I mean, that's not fun. It's like,
well, yeah, but they only ever win the game runs because they, glitch Algie Rhythm.
Yeah,
like,
that's
he's
right,
controlling everything. This is the best part. Like, if he's still there, they're always going to win. Doesn't matter if they're up 5 or 1,000. He's always going to make it so that they win.
But then
they crack the system there.
Yeah, I think they ripped that off Independence Day, really, didn't they? Because that's how they beat the Martians. Is they give the virus the computer a virus, which brings down the shield, and they kill the UFO. So I think that was, you know, not original that idea. It was like they ran out of. They thought, how are we going to actually? Yeah, we've got an algorithm here that can't be beaten, so how are we going to beat it?
Right.
And then what in this movie was original?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Well, Granny got much more of a role, though, didn't she? I don't remember her at all in that.
Shout out to Granny. Yeah. She's the one.
I don't remember her at all in Space Jam 1.
Yeah, you know? She was in it. She was definitely in it.
Was she?
I remember her knitting at one point in Space Jam.
They gave her more to do. There's no doubt about it. They gave Granny a lot
Matrix,
more to do.
Man.
This.
Hey, she hasn't aged at all either. I mean, Space Jam's 25 years ago, and she's looking the same. And she's moving pretty well on that walking cane. So,
did anyone else, though, especially when LeBron and Bugs were going to all the different movies, basically, to get the guys back? Get the guys and gals back, the Looney Squad back together. All I kept thinking was like, oh man, I'd rather be watching The Matrix right now or Mad Max.
100%.
And like, I just kept doing that. Like, oh yeah, that's a good movie. I wish I was watching that instead of this.
That's part of it, isn't it? Hey, HBO Max, we've got all of these movies available for streaming for you to check out. But I'm kind of with you. The getting the team together montage was a little bit of a high point for me. I can't deny it. I was laughing. We had LeBron in Harry Potter, LeBron in DC Universe as Robin. Kind of funny there. LeBron in Mad Max. Austin Powers, huge. Probably my favorite part of the movie right there. Mm-hmm. LeBron goes to Casablanca. LeBron in Rick and Morty. LeBron in The Matrix. LeBron in Wonder Woman 1984. That to me was a nice montage, but really then it's just a matter of, hey, did you like this movie when it came out? Yeah, I did. Now LeBron is in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I got Danielle. She was watching The Matrix the next night.
Boom. It worked.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Yeah. A commercial for their streaming platform. Yeah. The kids are getting taken there by their parents, and hopefully they start tuning into the old streaming platform. Yep. It worked at our house for sure.
Okay. What else? Okay. So the graphics or the look of it, the CGI, overall, you know, JD, you have some problems with it, but pretty slick. Almost too slick, you're saying, because now you're looking three rows deep of like, oh, who is that?
Yeah, but also it can better be, right? I mean, after all this time and the money that went into it, like, it better look amazing. And that was the only good thing that Jackson said after the movie. Is like, did you like it? He was like, well, it looked good.
Yeah.
Okay, 13-year-old boy who this is, I assume, targeted at. Mm-hmm. All you can say is that it looks good. Okay.
Yeah. Was there anything else that was positive in this movie? A character, a performance, anything, Trey? Anything else jump in mind? You like that the one part you said where he is getting the band back together, but what else?
Yeah, I like the getting the band back together montage. I also liked, I don't know how many people are going to be coming into this movie not knowing LeBron James's career.
Mm-hmm.
But the opening highlight montage was good. Like, that would be a nice, LeBron should put that out as a highlight reel at some point. Be like, look at all this cool stuff I did. And now we made it look even better. I thought that was great. I'm with you guys. The new Looney Tunes animation style. Kind of weird. Kind of cool. And a new way to introduce it, I guess, if they're going to try and relaunch Looney Tunes and make it a big deal. Now suddenly they look like 2021 animation. Sure. I like LeBron being animated for quite some time here. I don't think that's the case with Michael Jordan, right? He's a human for the, I think, the entirety of the first Space Jam. Yeah. So LeBron at least got to be a cartoon for a while. And I would say the thing that I like the most about this is that Bugs Bunny is the funniest character in this movie. And I think he should be the funniest character in this movie. He gets a lot of jokes in on LeBron. That's kind of what you're there for if you're an adult, because those jokes are going to be flying over kids' heads, right? Like, they don't know about LeBron going to form a super team with the Miami Heat or all the different times that he's left his different teams to start with another one. We do. So those are kind of for us, right? And I thought that Bugs is kind of the wisecracker, as he always is, and he gets the most jokes in. And like we're saying with our first impressions, and honestly, like LeBron did it with the Toon Squad, the Toons just weren't loony enough. Could have let him go a little bit more loony. And I think that, JD, I think you said something similar after watching the first one. Let the Looney Tunes go crazy, right? Because you are theoretically making a movie for kids. That's going to be the biggest draw for kids is jokes from those people. I think my kids laughed the hardest at, it's not even technically Looney Tunes, but whatever. Al says something along the lines of, let's get this started, and then starts playing a band, and then suddenly his little robot guy is playing trumpets. Like, they were dying at that. They were dying when I think Lola Bunny says to Diana Taurasi's character, get out of here, you big worm. Like, those are the things that kids like, is dumb jokes and like big things like that. People get hit in the face with balls. But LeBron was on his Avon Barksdale, no having fun until it really matters. Yeah. He really took that to heart. He learned it in the very first scene of the movie. He said no smiling until we get to the end of this movie. Let those Toons get loony, because when they're acting loony, that's the best. The Looney Tunes are a classic for being silly. Mm. And when you're keeping them reined down a little bit, you're just not letting them do what they're best at. Which come on, LeBron.
Doesn't LeBron do the opposite in real life? In the first quarter, he lets the other guys get comfortable.
Exactly
he's
right.
Setting them up.
Exactly.
He lets the game come to him. He flipped it around here in this movie. He's like, he just tried to be coach right away. Took too much control and then let them go. What about Don Cheadle, Tass? Were you a fan of him as Ali G Rhythm or not? I feel like I've read most reviews saying, thank God Don Cheadle's actually in this as the bad guy. So most people, from what I can tell, liked his performance, but what did you think?
I thought the human performances were good. I thought, Don Cheadle was good. I think he can pull that off. I think he was really good. You just remind me of the Wood Harris cameo there, Trey, that was funny. I loved Ernie Johnson, period. Mm-hmm. It was great seeing Ernie, just to have him sort of memorialized as, as the one of the broadcasters of our time being in a movie like that. Like, he hasn't been in any movies. I guess he's been in 2K in the basketball game, but it's good to have him. That's all I was thinking watching him call, quote unquote, call the game. I thought he was great. I thought Cheetah was really good. I know. I guess I was a little bit tired of it all at the end. By the end of the game, like, we're seeing the same thing. It was an hour-long game. It did take a long time, so maybe I was tired of Cheadle and the bit. But if you really wanted to win the game, he should have just won the game. You know, he could have pulled it off.
Lee, what did you think of Don Cheadle?
Well, I like Don. I like him. I just thought they did him a bit dirty in that, you know. They didn't have to make him to be such a bad guy, you know. Maybe, I don't know.
And he's the bad guy.
Yeah, I know. But Danny DeVito was the bad guy in the first one, wasn't he? I think Danny DeVito is just a more natural villain. I think Don Cheadle, you just always want him on your side. He's a cool dude, you know. I don't know. It's sort of, it's hard because, like, with Danny DeVito, it's easy to sort of, like, cheer against him, you know. You're like, all right, he's right. Really, you know, encompassing a villain. But Don Cheadle, you're like, I'm usually on his side, you know. I'm usually like, yeah, I like him in this role.
Just so he knows, Danny DeVito is in Space Jam 96 as Swackhammer, as Mr. Swackhammer, the evil alien. But he's actually not in the movie, right?
No,
But he plays that role, and it's like, yeah, this is fine because Danny DeVito, you can see him playing. Like, he's played it in Twins. He played it in what's that other one with Bette Midler?
The second Batman, he was
the Penguin.
So he kind of got a cameo in this as well.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Penguin was there on the side. Yeah, so I don't know. I thought, just didn't think he was a great villain, but he's a cool dude. So I'm like, okay, I'm sort of on his side here. And then, you know, it was like, he's not going to lose this game. He's a much too good coach to lose this game. So maybe that was it. Maybe they were able to sort of seduce me by thinking, like, maybe it won't be the storybook ending to this game. Maybe Don Cheadle will walk away with a W.
I think I agree with you. I think he was miscast in this. And I've read some reviews as well where it's just, like you say, Skeets, he's just having a blast, and thank God he's in the movie. And I didn't really get that from him. I didn't feel like he was having a good time. I didn't feel... If you want to see Don Cheadle have a good time, go watch the Ocean's 11 movies and all those movies. They're having fun on that movie. I don't think anyone had fun on this particular movie.
Yeah, they're standing in front of a green screen for 14 hours
exactly.
a day.
Exactly. Where do I look? Where do I look, man? But yeah, I mean, he's fine. Like you say, Lee, he's a very likable character actor, and he usually is a good guy. So maybe you're onto something there. Maybe he was miscast.
I liked what we got from Don Cheadle, and I thought he was integral to the movie because, like, the most believable scene I thought from LeBron was when he first got into the Warner serververse, and Don Cheadle's like 11 feet tall or something when they first run into each other. That to me was like the most that LeBron James seemed like a normal person in this, like actually talking to another human being, because I don't know, I think we're just probably underestimating, like you're saying, JD, how hard it is to act with green screens and, you know, just look at that guy dressed in a green costume. Eventually he'll be Bugs Bunny. That's got to be tough. But when LeBron actually had Don Cheadle to play off of in that scene, like, Don's going for it. He's going for it with every single line reading in this one, which upped LeBron's level, I thought. And acting wise, like, after that, it's like LeBron's wife was pretty solid. I thought she did good. Did not have a ton of lines. And after that, it's like, I don't know. There's not a lot of acting going on. Maybe Ernie Johnson's taking home the third star in this one, because he was pretty solid. But I don't know. I thought Don Cheadle, you had to have somebody up there chewing scenery, and he was doing a fine job of it.
Well, don't forget about all the voice actors. I mean,
true.
People playing Bugs and Daffy, and particularly Eric Bauza, who, shout out to Canada, is playing Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Foghorn Leghorn, nailing the original voices. Like, it could have been Mel Blanc. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
I would never know. You'd never be able to tell.
And then also, I think that it all kind of highlights the voice acting when LeBron starts voice acting and he's completely animated. His acting goes down a bit, and then you sort of realize just how much goes into a good vocal performance, because I wasn't enjoying LeBron. I thought LeBron was fine across the board in this. None of this is the actor's fault. He struggled while he was voice acting, especially when Zendaya comes on as Lola and she's killing it. I never realized what a great vocal actor she is. So shout out to all the voice actors out there, because I think that they were actually the best performances in the movie.
I was really disappointed with LeBron in this. I remember months ago saying, look, who knows if this movie is going to be better, than Space Jam. I think it will be because I hated the original Space Jam. So, God, how could it be worse? Which is sort of wild that it might be. But I was like, LeBron is going to be 10 times the actor that Michael Jordan is. Like, Jordan's not an actor. So, I mean, neither of these guys are. So you can't expect much. But it's like, we've seen LeBron in Thinks.
Yep.
He's charismatic. He's funny. He, like, seems like he's better at it than MJ. And I'm not sure he was, but I don't know if it was him or just like this angry, grumpy dad that you guys are saying that he was given. Like, he wasn't allowed really for a good chunk of this to be like silly and what you think probably LeBron could knock out of the park. And instead he was like, he was LeBron. First of all, he's being himself, which, okay, you should be better at that maybe. But he's like this weird version of himself where it's all like work, you know, come on, video games suck. And like, even though we had the flashback where he had the Game Boy and he went through it. And so when he got rid of it, he turned into LeBron. I was like, overall, I was really disappointed with LeBron's acting or whatever, like the role they gave him in this movie. I thought it was horrible. I thought he was like bad.
I thought he was going to be better as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he was worse than Michael Jordan, but he definitely wasn't better. Read very much the same performance to me. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was the role or the writing they gave him. Because honestly, like the guy that only wants to play basketball and only wants to work hard, that seems more like a Michael Jordan role, right? Yeah. Like, we want LeBron to be out there being silly, doing things other than basketball. And, you know, so when he comes out for the final half of the Space Jam game and he's dancing around and he's actually having fun, you're like, okay, he's lit up a little bit here.
Yeah.
And you can definitely tell.
Yeah, I thought that's when it got a lot better for him and I guess for the movie.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, what was your least favorite part then, Lily? I know we might repeat ourselves a little bit here. We've talked a bit of this movie already, but what's your just like, you hated this scene, you hated this concept, you hated this character. If you had to pick one.
Well, I mean, from the start, I was kind of like, what? This is, as I mentioned already, it's like the real father and son sort of like, you know, duel here of like, because LeBron, we know, you know, his son, Bronny, is a good basketball player. And his other one, Bryce Maximus, is also seems to be a good player. So it's sort of like he is, you know, is there a hidden message in there? Maybe his kids don't want to play basketball. I don't know. But I just felt while I was sitting there with one boy on one lap, on one knee and one on the other, I was just like, I'm not sure this is the sort of message I want them to. I thought we were just going to be having crazy, you know, like.
But isn't the message good in the end? It's like.
Well, you know, but it takes a while to get to that.
Do what you want, not what I want you to do.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'll talk to them about that. This is like, guys, this running time, I believe the running time for this movie is 1 hour, 55 minutes. The train from where I took it from this place called Vejle in Denmark back to Copenhagen was 2 hours and 1 minute. And I thought, that is perfect.
Right.
Perfect time.
Well, it was.
Yeah. and I thought this would be low stress. This would be an easy watch. There'll be Yosemite Sam firing the gun on the court and it'd be hilarious. And I just,
kids about firing guns, but
exactly. You know, well, but when then Daffy Duck, you know, Daffy Duck, he's got his beak around there and he pulls it around. Like, that's what I wanted, more of that sort of just silliness and goofiness. And the one part they really did enjoy actually was when Michael Jordan did make an appearance, but not the Michael Jordan.
Oh,
it was Michael B. Jordan. And then he's like, we can't even get Michael A. Jordan.
Yeah,
we got Michael B. Jordan. That part was funny because they know Michael Jordan. They know who he is. So they sort of could understand the joke there. But
do they know Michael B. Jordan, though?
No. They thought that was could have been a fill-in. Like, you know, this is just another person. So I was disappointed. I don't mind Space Jam. I think it's a fine movie because it sort of hits on what I expect it to hit on. You know, like, okay, yeah, there's a storyline. It's not, you know, there's no sort of, is this trying to be a real movie? It's a completely, fictional idea. This one, I thought, well, we
as are of, most movies.
Well, yeah. Most, yeah.
He just thinks this is too heavy. You just didn't like actual.
And like you guys are saying though, with LeBron, like LeBron is I think way more a sort of personable guy than Michael Jordan is right now. You know, LeBron is on social media and he's active and he talks and he sings and he dances and he does everything he can, you know. And I thought, yeah, give us some of that. Give us some more LeBron personality. We don't need, like, this is not, he's not going for an Academy Award here. Like, this is this is just a goofy movie. So be goofy, LeBron. He can be.
Oh, that's a Disney property, actually. Sorry. Goofy movie.
Right.
Couldn't use it.
You know, I would have liked to have seen some sort of, you know, Timon and Pumbaa combination in there to sort of come along and
also
really,
Disney, sorry, can't use it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, but that would have been what Manu Ginobili and Boris Dior could have played that role, you know, the sort of two goofy guys who really, like, play off each other. Just to inject that little bit of, you know, like, hey, guys, we're not here to, this is not about the storyline. This is just joke after joke after joke, you know, that you're going to remember and you're going to be able to reenact with your kids. Again, like Timon and Pumbaa, you know, but...
Yeah, speaking about the NBA players in this.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're disappointed in that their characters weren't developed at all. Like their personalities weren't sold at all. I'm sure a lot of people walking away didn't even realize that Klay Thompson was in this thing. Like who Klay Thompson is all the way down the line, even though you saw Anthony Davis's eyebrow, not sold at all. Like just no personality from him or Dame. Or any of the NBA or WNBA players in this.
Yeah.
I was disappointing. They just, you know, you saw them really briefly as humans when they're walking on the court there before they get morphed into their characters. But that's it. I mean, there was more from the Monstars. Like, those personalities were sold more. That was super disappointing.
Oh, my God. It was disappointing because for 15 years we've been asked on this show, who will be the new Monstars? Who will replace the original Monstars? Can you make the roster? Who will they be? And, like, you're thinking about, like, obviously their characteristics, like size, and who's going to be the small Muggsy? Who's going to be the tall Patrick Ewing? But you're also, like, trying to think, like, who would just be good in the movie as the characters or, like, as people because they have a personality. And you're right to ask that. That part was so disappointing. Yeah. Them as their CGI characters, fine. Like, okay, they looked all cool, I thought. But, there was, like, it was almost pointless to have the NBA and WNBA counterparts, right? Like, almost never needed them.
How they didn't get Boban in that?
Boban's Disney.
But if you want someone who can be the villain if you want, he would have been absolutely perfed in that. But, you know, like... It was just weird. It was like, God, have fun with these dudes. Don't make it sort of, you know, trying to make them too cool. Like, that's not the whole point of anything.
Yeah, it just feels like the whole movie, there's too much explaining to do for this to be a movie for kids, right? And that's the thing to me. It's like, okay, Dame time, it's the new bullet time. It was great, but now you have to explain to your kid, okay, Damian Lillard, when he hits a big shot in the fourth quarter, he calls Dame time, you know, because that means now it's my time to hit clutch shots. Anthony Davis, he's LeBron's teammate. He's had an eyebrow for his entire NBA career, so the joke they're making is that it's time for you to pluck your eyebrow. It felt like, I mean, at this point, you almost have to explain who the Looney Tunes are to your kids, right?
Right. Yeah.
This is not the most popular cartoon that's out there right now, but then all the layers on top of this are more things that you have to explain to your kids for them to understand what's happening on the screen. Like, we're in the last, you know, 10 minutes of the movie here. They show Don Cheadle. He's suddenly dressed like Bobby Knight throwing a chair onto the court, which is funny if you knew about that happening 35 years ago. He shows up dressed as Bill Belichick. You're like, okay, no children are going to know who this is supposed to be. Fair enough. My kids are just asking me, is that a bad guy standing behind him? Yeah, it is. That's the Night King. Night King from right. Game of Thrones. He's not. Yeah. He seems like he was the big bad villain, but he turns out to not be the big bad. Blah blah blah.
That's where they could have squeezed so in Boban. Cool. He could have been the giant. He could have been the Game of Thrones giant right there.
Yeah, it's like for a movie that, you know, we keep saying, oh, this is a movie for kids. This is a movie for kids. This is, they tried to make a movie for everybody, and that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah. JD, you know what you're going to say about the cameos or the WNBA and NBA
players? Oh, yeah. For the players, that was one of the good things about Space Jam is when the players get their powers sucked away from them, not only do we get to see them as monsters, but we also get to see them as sort of bumbling zombie type characters, right? Which is totally out of character for them and was actually made for some comedy, you know, with some light moments where guys are bumping into walls and they suddenly can't play basketball. I mean, I would have loved that, but like put in, if you're going to put cameos in, put players in, you know, like, you know, basketball fans are going to go see this. And as, you're exactly right, Skeets. We've been asked for the last 15 years, who's going to be the next Monstars? Who's like the NBA fans want to see NBA players in Space Jam. And we barely got that.
Yeah.
We got LeBron. That's it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And the fact that Michael Jordan isn't in this movie, why did you make this movie at all? Like, I get it. He didn't want to do it or whatever. Here's my pitch. It's one shot. It's Michael Jordan. You spend $2 million on this shot. It's Michael Jordan and Bill Murray on the golf course looking at their phone saying, oh, what's happening here? Bill Murray says, put it away, Mike. We're playing golf. End of scene.
Right.
It's 100 times better than movie. And then you have Michael Jordan in your movie, right? Like, it would be hilarious and great, and the fact that you couldn't get the real Michael Jordan in Space Jam is just, it's ridiculous to me.
He ain't making a cameo, though.
You gotta assume they tried to get Michael Jordan, and he was...
Oh, I'm sure they tried, but, you know, you could have taken some of that special effects budget and just threw it at Michael. Everybody has their price. If you're this movie was in development for what, five years before the director even came on, and then it was another 2 years to make or whatever. Like, at the during that whole time, if I'm the executive producer and I'm like, if we can't get Michael Jordan for one shot, then we're not doing this movie.
Yeah, I was definitely in the camp of obviously waiting for Michael, waiting for Bill Murray too. And so while the credits were happening, you know, the Instagram photos that they were, you know, sort of flowing through the credits, it looked like Bill Murray walking on a golf course, but Danielle and I were arguing that it wasn't. She thought it was, and I thought it was. I thought that was the only Bill Murray appearance.
I marked down Bill Murray golf shot in my notes. I thought that was Bill Murray for sure.
Yeah. I'm with you guys. Yeah.
So weird. But now I think, why would, like, that, so it's just an ode to the first one?
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I mean, they got the Nerdlux back. I'll give them credit for that. Yeah. I like seeing the Nerdlux cheering on the Goon Squad again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was Bill Murray. but, you know, they make a couple of oblique and not so oblique references to the first one, which... Mm-hmm. I guess is the best you can do if you can't get the real Michael Jordan. Well, I mean, they got a real Michael Jordan, but not the not
Michael A. Jordan.
Yeah.
Lee, who was an underrated Looney Tunes character to you in this movie? You've already spoke highly of Granny, but is there anyone else that you were like, wow, they really brought it?
I mean, Foghorn probably got more airtime than I was expecting. Arthur, you know.
I thought Porky. He was canceled, to be honest. I didn't
know.
Me too.
Me too.
I was like, damn, he's not.
Porky, right. Porky was dropping some, spitting some fire there with
his.
Did
you like the Notorious P.I.G. rap scene?
Yeah, I mean, and saying that Notorious P.I.G. I was like, that's not too bad. But at this point, though, it was like they were trying to, you know, reel in the big fish that was basically off the line by now anyway. I was gone. So it was too little, too late. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd started with something like that, you know, then I'm like, okay, we're getting crazy. I want just complete mess this whole movie. I don't want to have to be on like... Ooh.
You know what you should do, Lee? You should sit down with JD. Sorry, JD. Take this movie and just re-edit it. The Lee Ellis cut.
The Lee Ellis
just makes no sense at all. But maybe it's a funnier movie somehow. Yeah. I think you could do it. I think the two of you guys could pull it off.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's something there.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, but the difference between Lee and I enjoy being uncomfortable. I enjoy sitting there with my kids going, this guy's not a very good dad, is he? That kind of thing.
Right.
Look. If I was tuning into a movie where I had at least some idea that's where we'd be going, then I'd be okay. But I was thinking this is going to be the easiest 2 hours of my life, and instead I was just like, wow, we've just had a beautiful weekend, and now
this really just trips in town.
Hold on, okay,
pain on the train.
Let's be honest, LeBron wasn't that bad of a dad. Like, he was being a dick.
No,
for
he's
sure,
like, hard,
but
if you work hard, it'll pay off.
Yeah,
is what
yeah,
talking
yeah
about. That's,
but
that's
it was
fair.
Just, again, it was just that wasn't the movie I was expecting it to come from. Right? what's the message in Space Jam? There's none, is there? It's just like the criminal comes along and steals their powers to win a game.
It's a great point. What is the story of Space Jam?
There's none. But that's what makes it.
No. The greatness is inside of you. That's the story of Space Jam 1, the secret stuff. They didn't even get Michael's secret stuff back. I thought that's what they were going to do during that Michael B. Jordan scene was like, literally, they find an old bottle of Michael's secret stuff and drink it, which maybe would have been the only thing dumber that they could have done, but that's what I thought they were gonna do.
Yeah. Okay. So you just, this one had too much of a story, Lee, or tried to.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like there's just no need for that. No need for that whatsoever. Just make it goofy, because you know,
we already went over this. Yeah,
it's like Vince Carter going in a dunk contest again. It's like nostalgically, you're like, I wonder if he could do it again and wow us like he did. But we're also like, just don't. Just leave us wondering if that could happen. Well, and Space Jam is the same. It's like, it's been rumored as, but like, you know, you've got LeBron, you know, similar in terms of, you know, the Michael Jordan level of fame. And it's like, okay, are we going to do this again? Okay, great. Let's do it. Finally, let's do it. And then it's like, okay, we're sitting down, we're making a movie. It should have just been like pizzas piled up in the boardroom, people turning up late on their phone. Anyway, what do you guys think about this idea? Yeah, give it a shot. Just record a few of those scenes. If they don't work, just get rid of them. Who cares? If this is LA, this is Hollywood, we've all got the money we can waste. Let's just make this movie. Don't put too much effort into it. You know, someone says, like, we're not having a regular meeting about this. We're just going to turn up, have some fun, and see where it goes.
You think they should have? That'll do Space Jam 2.
They may as well.
I just wish a bunch of guys got stoned and said, hey, this sounds funny. This is
You've got
silly.
Clay Thompson there, right there. So, are you telling me if they don't say, Clay, we're stuck with some ideas, man. Here's a couple of joints. Even you don't even need them, actually, Clay. Just what do you think? I'm telling you, I bet you you'd have way better storylines.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know,
wow. That's the difference between
me asking you what was your underrated Looney Tunes character.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner always great. I love these guys. They were instrumental in the comeback for the Toon Squad.
The multiplier,
right?
For the sure. Multiplier, it doesn't happen without them.
And that to me is like, finally, we're getting a classic Looney Tunes bit here. You know. Yeah. It seems like it's going to be Wile E. tricking the Roadrunner and something suddenly goes bad for Wile E. Coyote. Hilarious stuff. Kids were going crazy seeing all these Wile E. Coyotes come out and then they fall down on each other. Also funny. Yep. Give us more tunes.
I did, after you mentioned that it was Malcolm D. Lee making this movie, cousin of Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. Just realized that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we needed a deep film. That's what we were going to get. And that's LeBron versus MJ. LeBron's going to tackle the issues of our time. He's just not going to let things go. He's not going to shut up and dribble and make a dumb movie. He's just not. That's LeBron.
And so what was he tackling here? Not only fatherhood, but also, you know, really the internet, I guess. the serververse. And how it can corrupt us and these algorithms.
Yeah, wow. I will say one of my favorite parts of the movie I'm 100% on board with the villain that everybody's trying to topple being a Warner Media algorithm. I was 100% on LeBron's side, I'll tell you that much.
Right.
Take him down, LeBron.
Right.
Take him down, man.
If this is filmed a couple of years prior, we're maybe in this movie.
Yeah. I was looking for a Starters reference. I know it's in the serververse somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Wedgie or something would have been great. Porky Pig Wedgie or...
Oh, yeah, that would have been awesome.
That gets him interested.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun. Now we're in the boardroom. We're just spitting ideas.
Exactly. Out. Boom, there you go. You've already got easily...
It would have been a Wedgie from Porky Pig. Write it
down. What? It got stuck. No, it's a Wedgie, you stupid pig. You know? Like...
that's my new favorite line from Space Jam, A New Legacy.
See, this is what I'm saying. Just, all right, quick. Shoot the voice or the dialogue for it, and then just get the animation team to build it afterwards. And that's how you can... Then you've got a bit of the movie right there.
That's how it's made, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying is like just you, when you're in the boardroom, like that's quick, record it. So we've got it. Lay that voice track down and then build around it.
Exactly. So. You're describing the process. Yeah.
That's the most insane film session yet. Lee talking about the actual crafting of the movie.
How much did LeBron want to have a deep message? Like how much was that him playing into it? I think he probably wanted to walk away with a message for...
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think, yeah, he is sure. That type of guy. And the message, obviously, is a very good one.
Yeah.
It is. I think that he wants that as part of his legacy. He's a legacy man. You know, I don't think he wanted to do a goofy movie. He's done Trainwreck.
Well, then here's the problem, though. This is where I'll push back on. Then don't do Space Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason you're doing Space Jam is you're going to pay a ton of money and you guys are all going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, but as we said...
Automatically expecting something, calling it Space Jam. I know you're calling it a new legacy as well, but I didn't know that was going to be the legacy.
As we've said, though, you know, we remember Space Jam. We're 40-ish. 40 mm-hmm. ballpark.
average.
You know, average to the mean. So people who watched Space Jam in 1996, I mean, we're probably at the... You know, there's just not many people who watch both, who are watching both. Not many people are doing a film session. How many people, like LeBron is trying to imply, this isn't a remake.
It's true.
This is a new movie. So, you know, it's inevitably going to be compared. Call it something different. Is he capitalizing on the first one? Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not entirely original, not entirely new, but also very different. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we need to talk about this. I want to read you guys something I saw from Polygon. Because let's get to the end of the movie. The real climax is they figured out how to beat Ali G Rhythm. And that is to do what LeBron did when he was playing Dom's game. And that's going to do his, what was it, Trey? You remember, I know it.
Inside out dribble, crossover,
step back. Yeah.
Glitch. Okay. That's the glitch. So... they figure out, hey, let's try that. I mean, Dom comes over to his dad's side. You know, we have that nice moment. He's on their team now. Let's give it a go. Oh, problem is, when we did it in my game, when you were there, my character died, was wiped. So that's probably going to happen again. So we've got sacrifice. And, you know, we're led to believe, well, LeBron's going to do it for his son and to get his family out of there and all these people. That's an underrated part of this weird movie. It's like, the stakes got raised. They're like, suddenly we're just going to zap in half real people into this arena and they'll be here forever. And we'll kill the tune. That was like a weird little part. Anyway, stakes are high. So.
One of my favorite lines in the movie, though. LeBron to his son after he tells him that he glitched out when they were playing. I'm not a video game character.
It's true.
You're right, bud.
So Bugs ends up stealing the ball. And he does it. He sacrifices himself. So, I want to read you this from Joshua Riveria at Polygon. Quote, do toons go to the real world when they die? If so, is our world heaven or hell? Bugs later tells LeBron that he's not alone and other toons came with him. Does that mean they also had to die? How did that happen, given that their whole shtick is surviving things that kill them, like several metric tons of dynamite? Are the Looney Tunes now a death cult? Or is that really Bugs Bunny at the end of the film? And it goes on here. But yeah, this idea, because we, like, Bugs dies, but then he's like, well, I can't die. I'm Bugs Bunny.
Right.
And then he's now in the real world with LeBron when he drops his kid off at the electronics camp. JD, thoughts on that very deep piece there from Joshua?
Wow, you just blew my mind. Mm. Is this heaven? Is this hell? Who's to say? It's yeah. I like the theory. I do like it. Now, what happens next? Do when we die, do we go to the Toon World?
Oh.
That would be a hell. That would be a hell, for sure.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, yeah.
The Warner Brothers Serververse. Thank you.
Gets very,
I do have
very
to correct
deep.
You, Skeets. You keep referring to Don Cheadle's character as Ali G. Rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
It's just Al G. Rhythm.
Al G. Rhythm. Yeah.
Okay, that'll be a good character, too.
Is Ali G. in the Warner Brothers Serververse? No. Probably not. Right?
Wasn't it on HBO? Didn't they show the Ali G show on HBO?
So, there you go.
He's probably in the background somewhere, if you want to pause it.
Anyway, Lee, what did you make of the ending of this movie with Bugs sacrificing? Were the kids like, what? Is he dead? Is he gone?
You know, I don't really know at this point, to be honest. Once LeBron hit the game winner, it ended the way I thought it was going to end. You know, they won the game. They came back from 1,000 down. I wasn't really searching for the deeper meaning of it. I was more just like, oh, thank God, that is over.
We're here.
Yeah.
Get your things, kids.
It was one of those ones where I'm like, yeah, awesome. Oh, that killed 2 hours on a train.
I'm glad he didn't.
Put it on the poster.
I'm glad they didn't have LeBron stretch out his arm. Like, that would have been, you know, a little too on the nose.
You liked the power-ups, though, Tass? Did you like that whole part? I mean, it was tough to figure out what the hell was going on. Not that it really matters, but, like, what's the scoring of this game?
How
do you power up? How much is it worth? You were fine with it, Tass, because your kids were loving it?
You definitely couldn't decipher, the 2-point, 3-point system that we have in the NBA. That's pretty easy compared to what was going on. But yeah, the discus power up that Dom threw to him so he could, you know, propel himself to the hoop because he wasn't going to make it. But yeah, I'm glad they didn't do the Stretch Armstrong like classic. If you watched the first one, maybe you were hoping for that. But yeah, it's like, you know, LeBron doesn't want to do exactly what MJ did in the first movie, although he did Space Jam 2, so I guess he kind of did in the end. But he wanted to do it his way, and he did it his way. I like the graphics. Everything for me, the CGI stuff was good on the court. Anyway, I didn't know if they were going to come back. I just didn't, and that got me right at the end.
Yeah, I was when Bugs is lying there dying. They have this big celebration, and the whole time I'm like, what about Bugs?
Yeah.
What about Bugs? And then they go to Bugs, and he's dying. And I actually thought to myself, do they have the balls to kill Bugs Bunny?
Same.
Well, it turns out that they didn't. And how did they get out of him dying? They didn't bother even explaining it. They're just like, okay, well, here I am.
Come on. They planted the seeds early. He said, nothing bad can happen to me. We're in Toon World. Nothing happens. But I'll admit, I'm a sucker. I thought he was dead, too. See ya, Bugs. Suddenly he comes back. But, I mean, I guess at this point we don't know. Is the first Space Jam canon in the Serververse? Who knows? I think that there are animated characters that come to Earth in the first one. They're just like going through Michael Jordan's house getting his practice gear, right? So... Mm-hmm. I think Bugs is back, and I thought he was dead too. I thought that was going to be the big takeaway from this one. It was like, whoa, man, they killed Bugs Bunny in the second Space Jam? LeBron, you're crazy for this one. But, you know, within 3 seconds, he was back.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess LeBron should have just been a better listener then. Like, you caught it, TK. Like, then they all should have went, yeah, I'll do it. Why would you do it, LeBron? You might actually die here in this weird serververse. Let me do it. Okay, cool. Let's do
exactly.
It.
It seems like they made the right choice. You know, the one guy who's been talking about being able to come back from anything on Toon World decided to take the shot because he knew he would come back from anything. So that's why Bugs Bunny, the real leader of the Toon Squad.
Wow. Sort of deep. Just favorite Goon Squad character, Lee. Can I ask you that of you know, the Brow and Wet Fire and Kronos and White Mamba and what was the last Spider? Arachnica.
Arachnica.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Lillard seemed to get a fair run. He got way more face time than anyone else.
He did.
Yeah.
For coming off the bench.
Yeah. That's a good point. Didn't start Lillard.
I don't remember really Klay Thompson doing anything, really. Maybe hit a shot, but he was not in it. Lillard was, I mean, LeBron always picks Lillard in the All-Star game. So that's his boy, and he gave him a cool character. You know, he dressed him up great, you know, and gave him plenty of time. So it was kind of like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
He dressed him up great. They had a
great costume for him, and they did so much with the Dame time as well. That sort of dragged on a little bit, but
there.
Yeah, exactly.
No Kyrie in this movie, huh?
Well, yeah, no Chris Paul wearing glasses either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that was my favorite part. A few of my least favorite things were sort of some of my favorite things. Algae Rhythm, the algorithm. Don't like the algorithm, but I liked Algae Rhythm. Clickbait headlines. I don't like clickbait headlines, but the ones that came out of this were pretty funny. As Trey said, you know, Bugs was the character that got them over the top. So the clickbait headline of LeBron needs Bugs to get him over the top. He can't win a championship without Bugs Bunny. I like that. I like the no Kyrie doesn't want to play second fiddle to LeBron anymore, even if was he even part of this movie? Who the heck knows? But it's a dumb headline for you. And I came up with my own little conspiracy theory. I also hate conspiracy theories. Of course, everybody does. Everybody should. But at the end, the Insta photos, there's a part where Daffy, I think it's like one of the first couple, Daffy is pointing to LeBron's junk. He's like pointing to LeBron's crotch. So was LeBron a dick during production?
Oh, wow.
That's my conspiracy theory. That was thrown in there just because LeBron was a jerk. But I don't really buy into that, but it's just a funny conspiracy theory. Wow. Run with it. Somebody run with it. But yeah, he's pointing directly at his crotch, which was really just really weird. Really
I missed
weird.
That. I got to go back and watch it.
Okay, I'm rewatching now.
Duck points at dick.
Daffy dick.
The headline.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, well, we're going to have like our final thoughts here. We got to grade this. But I thought it would be a little funny if I gave you guys a quick top five of my favorite one-star reviews for this movie. Because there's a lot of hate out there for Space Jam, A New Legacy. So here's a quick top five.
Top five, top five, top five. Top five, top
yes.
five, top five.
My top five favorite one-star reviews for Space Jam A New Legacy by way of IMDb, all of these ones. And there were so many. It was difficult to parse this down to just five. So I'm going to give you the headline and then the quick, because these are all fairly short, review for this movie. At number five, the headline is, the title, I've never seen anything like this film and I hope I never do again. And the review is, this was honestly one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'd rather watch 2 hours of literally anything else. Not a LeBron hater, but this kind of made me want to be.
Ooh,
okay. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Oh, it gets worse. Number four, title is one of the worst kids films I've ever seen. The cinema was full, and for 2 hours, not a single laugh. Dead silence in there, poorly written, could have been so much better. LeBron James should never act again. However, after all that, my kids said they liked it. If you're an adult that remembers the wonderful Looney Tunes characters, I feel you'll be so disappointed. Favorite part of this? Get your partner or babysitter to take the kids and dodge this. Literally saying, my kids liked it, but I hated it. So next time, or if I could give you some advice, get your significant other or the babysitter to take your kids.
Yeah.
Crazy review. Okay, number three. Stupid, loud, tedious. This film is unnecessary. It sounds like Lee Ellis wrote this one. The original had heart and humor. This is just loud and obnoxious. Braun's acting is unfunded high school play quality. I'd give it a negative grade if I could. Stay away.
Wow.
Huh. Loud?
That's a
bit harsh. Overly loud.
Yeah, you were on a train. The train was the loudest thing.
Yeah,
right. I mean, rails,
it was one of those things that I was conscious of the other passengers around us, right? So I didn't want to have a blaring, but it also I was kind of like, I don't really care that I can't hear it all that well either. So
this guy watched the movie, didn't hear a single word of it. I bet.
I heard enough. I had the captions up, so I was reading. It was funny a few times. Swear words came up. I should go scroll through it and
when was there a swear? I don't remember there speaks.
There was an F-bomb on the screen there.
Really?
There was. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
There was. Wow. There was.
Oh, I love it. Now I gotta see this screen. Yeah. There is the part at the end, I guess, where Al is he starts swearing at the goon squad, right? And they bleep it out. They made a bleep joke pretty risque for
that's true.
G movie. But wow, I mean, maybe they let the F word slip through on that one. Whoops.
Yeah, possible. That's all funny. Right. At number two here, it's called Soulless Corporate Vomit. Tass, I didn't write this, but it starts, the Greek salad type movies need to stop. Okay. What? Only Wreck-It Ralph 2012 managed to do this right. Ralph Breaks the Internet 2018, Ready Player One 2018, and Space Jam A New Legacy 2021 are just an ode to corporate dominion and greed. They imprison IP names created with love and pathos and mash them together to earn money. Nothing more, nothing less. So this goes back to what you were saying. You added the Lego movie, though, JD,
mm-hmm.
as one that actually did pull it off. This guy, or woman, says Ralph Breaks the Internet. Only Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph
managed to do it. Yeah, not the second one, I guess. Anyway, yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, I've heard this argument as well. Get used to it, man or woman. This is the new world we're living in. Wait for the next phase of the Marvel Universe, where we go into the multiverse and... I'm hopeful that they do it right, but we're going to see Tobey Maguire again as Spider-Man, and we're going to see Wolverine show up, and all your favorites are going to show up on screen. And I stand by the Lego movie. I thought that was an awesome example of how to do something big and corporate with a lot of IP correctly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And okay. To sort of combine this review and the one before it, this person calls it soulless. Person before said it didn't have the heart of the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. This one actually has the storyline of a father trying to raise a child properly.
Right.
There was no heart in the first one. What was it? I mean, you're just, no, there was no heart. Yeah, so this, the, yeah, that is part of That is a good message. And I think seeing a lot of parents who watched it with their kids, I mean, that's the one thing that parents did take from it. That, yeah, as much as you wanted to screw around for 2 hours, I mean, this one did have that about it. It's obviously tied in with a lot of corporate.
Well, yeah, that's sales. What people say. It's just like, yeah, it had that, but it's also just a 2-hour commercial for Warner Brothers Media and like HBO Max. And it's like pretty soulless that way, which sure. Tough to argue against, but you're right.
Can't argue.
I do agree that they did it in a soulless way. Like I heard an interview with Malcolm Lee about the making of this movie. And he talks about all of the IP that goes into it. And he's like, oh, the Iron Giant. Yeah, no, I've never seen it. You know, like you put the Iron Giant in your movie. Yes, it's a cameo, but LeBron is specifically talking about wanting the Iron Giant on my team. And by the way, you're a 50-year-old movie director and you've never seen the Iron Giant? I mean, you know, there's no he has no reverence for what he's putting on screen. Another one was they asked him specifically about Rick and Morty, putting Rick and Morty. Yeah, I've never seen it, never watched it, you know, and it's just like, oh, that's why Rick and Morty said nothing, did nothing, weren't funny at all, and that's the funniest show on television, you know? So it's just like, do you care about... You're just slapping shit up for the sake of literally the recognition factor, and that's it. There's no substance behind it. There's no beloved... You know, they don't love the characters they're showing. I mean, that's what I walked away with thinking. It was just so the soulless really strikes a chord with me because I agree with that 100%. Mm.
All right. You're right. And sometimes in a Greek salad, people will just throw in the kitchen sink. They'll throw everything in. There is absolutely...
Is that what that was? Is that that reference? Yeah, I never really heard that.
It's like a hodgepodge of stuff. Yeah. But you can overdo it. You know, keep the soul, the main ingredients. There's absolutely no need to throw in an iceberg as filler. There's no need to throw those in, which I guess is what this, you know, the Rick and Morty without knowing... Rick and Morty was just having them up there. Just stick to your tomatoes, cucumbers, feta, olives, olive oil, touch of salt, a little bit of lemon, oregano, call it a day. If you want some raw onion, okay, that's about it. But iceberg lettuce, get out of here, lettuce.
All right, and the final one here of this top five list, just a quickie. It's titled False Advertising. They didn't play the Space Jam song. That alone makes this movie unwatchable. I thought this was a good one to end on because, Trey, what did you think of the music in this one? Did it lack in that department or did it come close to you with that original Space Jam soundtrack? What do you think?
I don't really remember the soundtrack, Skeets, and that gives you the answer right there because as soon as we were starting this up here, as soon as we finished it, we hopped on a stream later that night, Skeets, after I had watched it. I could not stop singing, "Everybody Get Up." That's from the first movie. That's from the first Space Jam. We needed another Quad City DJs song. You know, we needed a Bugs Bunny rap song. I suppose we got the Porky Pig one. I was personally not a big fan of like just throwing a random rap battle in there. I thought that was brutal, but I guess that was maybe a highlight of the soundtrack. But I don't really remember much of it. And I would imagine that somewhere in that serververse, they've got a deep catalog of great songs that they could use to have, you know, because one of the legacies of the first Space Jam is that the soundtrack is actually a banger, right? Like, there's actually a lot of really good songs.
Yeah.
It has lasted for 25 years of people saying, yeah, maybe the movie sucks, but the soundtrack is great.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case with this.
You're 100% right, and I think that the goodwill that people have towards the original movie is because of the soundtrack, because they watch the movie once and then they go and buy the CD and then they listen to it over and over and over again, and there are bangers on that soundtrack.
Right.
No bangers on this soundtrack, no anthem. I mean, you know, R. Kelly aside, I Believe I Can Fly was a massive hit and and very well placed in the film, and it's just like that's how people remember Space Jam, and that's not going to be the case for this one, I don't think.
No, I think you're right. Although there's like big artists on this soundtrack.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Lil Baby, Lil Wayne, Chance the Rapper, John Legend,
Jonas Dalla.
Dame Dalla, yeah.
A rapper by the name of Dame Dalla, not sure who he is.
Yeah.
You been listening to this John Legend song, Tassie? Crowd Go Crazy by John Legend? Just put it on in the house and vibe?
No, I heard it once, I think, but I guess it just kind of floated by me. Like everything in the soundtrack is true. Yeah, I didn't remember any of it.
And it could be that there are awesome songs on the soundtrack, but they weren't mixed in very well because I don't remember anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, that's the top 5 one-star reviews for Space Jam A New Legacy, at least according to me, in a quick glance there of IMDb. So let's get your thoughts. Does anybody give it higher than a 1? I will tell you, critics score on Rotten Tomatoes, based off of approximately 150 reviews as of recording this, 32%. Quite low there for this movie. Audience score, though, whoo, don't you worry, off of 500-plus verified ratings, 81%. So the audience overall, thinking this is an above-average movie, hell, maybe even an A in their mind, wow, where the critics say 32%. So, Lee, let's start with you on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being obviously garbage, 10 being the greatest movie you've ever seen, right up there with Mrs. Doubtfire. How do you rate Space Jam New Legacy?
This is a tough one because my two boys gave it both a 5-star rating, which is the highest rating you can give anything.
Okay.
But I give it a 0. So if you combine those two, they get 10. It gets a 10. So it's a 10 out of 10, I guess I have to give it.
What? You know. Really, but you said you gave a 0.
Combined.
I would say if you're dividing them up, 5 plus 5, 10 plus 0, still 10, divided by 3. You're at almost 33%, right on par with Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. You gotta add the denominator. Yeah.
I mean, because my kids enjoyed it, I want to just say, you know what, then it's fine. It was for them.
So are your kids going to ask you to watch this again?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you will not be around when they watch it.
No, I will be if we want to watch Space Jam again, but not this one. This one, I just was like, nah, there's just not enough there for me. There's just nothing there, you know? Space Jam by comparison. I mean, it's like The Godfather right now compared to it.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but we've already done Space Jam on Film Session. If you want to go into our archives and find us talking about that one with Zach Harper a long time ago now. But okay, so hold on. What's your score? What are you giving it? I don't care about your kids.
Zero.
All right. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Straight 0.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, I can't give it a vote. I can't give it a point. It was terrible. It was a complete. Okay. It was one of those ones where I was like, I'm on a train.
So we know you're on a train.
I'd rather just have no internet, no device, nothing, and just look out the window.
You'd rather stare at the back of your seat. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Windows closed even.
Yeah, no air conditioning, sweating, boiling. I would have been like, yeah, I'd rather do that than have to watch this again. This was, I would say, the worst movie I've ever seen would be The Guardian with Ashton Kutcher and Kevin Costner. I would say this.
Move over, Guardian.
I would say this is possibly bumping that one out. Wow. Possibly, yeah. Wow. Ghostbusters 2 is in there as well. That's a terrible movie. Con Air, that's in there.
Oh, my God. Con Air? What are you talking?
Yeah.
Crazy.
But
for a guy who likes giving his kids lessons, it's like, were you just done after 2 days of Legoland? Like, I gave your kids the lesson. I'm done.
I do like to, but I was not expecting this on the, you know, on the environment I was in. I thought, oh, this is going to be an easy 2 hours, an easy watch, a fun watch, a few laughs. Instead, I was just like, ah, come on.
Okay, that's fine. Like, I think that's a fair take. It's not that funny. It really isn't. There's not a lot of jokes in it. And there are, like, some, like you said, TK, that only, like, really basketball sickles are going to, like, maybe, like, giggle at. Like, I was like, I laughed a little bit, I guess, at the LeBron and the Anthony Davis character with his eyebrow and the brow and stuff like that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, even that was like, you're still working that joke? That's the best you could come up with?
Will it make the joke funnier if for the next season Anthony Davis shows up with 2 eyebrows? Like, he's really taking it to heart what LeBron said in Space Jam.
Yes, I would laugh.
So would I.
Yeah.
I did notice AD was wearing number 23 in this movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, LeBron is number 6. We found out LeBron's switching his number, but I think AD is sticking with number 3, right?
He is.
Kind of surprised. Not going for 23.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
well, maybe the title had something to do with it.
Maybe he was waiting to see the reviews for this movie. Yeah. This is a smash hit and people love it. Then I'll switch back or switch over to 23. Okay, Tass, you're up next, man. Lee gives it a 0. Where do you go? You know, the scale is on 1 to 10, but Lee, of course, never follows the rules exactly. So where do you go?
Yeah, I'm with the critics and the audience. You know, being in the same room as a kid, they loved it. And this, you know, not... I can be as, you know, grumpy as the next guy, but it wasn't for me, you know? So I got to meet it in the middle. A 5 out of 10 is, I think, fair for, you know... I guess when LeBron had his say in this, I think, you know, after talking it out with you guys, I think it's kind of like The Last Dance in a way where Michael Jordan, I'm sure, was very happy with that documentary. And just from LeBron's perspective, I think if he looks through, you know, his catalog of movies, he's, you know, kind of hinted that he wants to be a movie star after this. I think, yeah, he's done some jokey jokes, and I think he wanted to give a message to the kids with this one. Mm-hmm. And I think he pulled that off. So I think, like MJ is happy with The Last Dance, I think he'll be happy with this one. And it was tough. It was tough on Dom. But that scene, the hug on the floor, it got me. I'll cry at anything, but that got me. It definitely got me. And, you know, it was like there was a basketball tie-in as well, where it could be like an old school player talking to, you know, to today's players. I was raised one way, tough, but now we got to change it up. Got to, you know, get in tune with players today. So there's a basketball angle there. So all that to say, LeBron's happy. The kids are happy. I'm happy, but not too happy. So I'll give it a 5.
Trey, how do you grade Space Jam New Legacy?
I'm like Tass. My kids loved it. They've still been talking about it since, but I am not personally looking forward to watching this again quickly, right? Because to me it is a kids movie, but it's not made specifically for kids, and if that were the case, I would be up a little bit more on it. There's too much explaining to do for it to be specifically for kids. I like the jokes at LeBron's expense. I like that he was fine with them being made. I thought some of them were funny. I appreciated the references, and no doubt the message is good. Be yourself. Sports aren't everything, and encourage your kids to chase down what they actually like. But another part of Space Jam's success is that it was a novel movie, right? It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit existed, where there was animation and live action as well, but not a lot. And, you know, LeBron or Michael Jordan at the time, the most famous guy on Earth, it was just a novel thing to see, hey, these two people or these two worlds are actually meeting. We've never seen anything like that. Clearly, we have seen that before this movie. So that loses a little luster there. But the main problem I have with this entire thing, LG Rhythm won, man. LG Rhythm literally won because he wanted to digitize LeBron into Warner Brothers properties for people to watch. We just watched LeBron digitized into Warner Brothers properties. LG Rhythm won in this. We're living in the serververse right now, and for that, I can only give it a 3 of 10.
Mm. Wow. Okay, JD, where do you go?
Well, you know, listening to you guys say this is a kids movie, it's not for me, I reject that thinking altogether, because who takes their kids to see movies? You're their parents. If you want to have a good kids movie, you need to appeal to the parents. So I've heard people, when I've criticized Space Jam in the before, they're just like, oh, it's not for you, it's not made for you. Well, fuck you, it is so made for me, because it's my money that I'm spending on this movie. And that's what makes a great kids movie, is that it appeals to all of any age. I mean, I'll hit How to Train Your Dragon, awesome movie. Kung Fu Panda, awesome movie. Wallace and Gromit, anything Wallace and Gromit, great. Fantastic Mr. Fox. These are all kids' movies that appeal to adults. Paddington. Have you seen Paddington?
No, I haven't.
It's amazing. You've got to go see Paddington. This movie is...
You sound like a bear right now.
This movie is awful. I was hugely disappointed by the serververse. The one thing I was looking forward to, I think they completely whiffed on it. How much better would it have been if they just... Why were the Looney Tunes characters in the movies that they were visiting? Like, why were they characters? Why was Granny Trinity? It was just like, not explained and just stupid. It would have been so much better if there was a basketball game happening and then Algie Rhythm just shoots off LeBron into the deepest depths of the serververse and he has to make his way back with the help of the Looney Tunes running through. That's what I was expecting. I was expecting a random war boy to help them get out of the Mad Max world, and then they land in wherever, Casablanca, and they're like, where the hell are we? Oh, well, let me explain it to you. Bugs explains where we are, and let's get out of here, and let's go to the next thing, and that would have been just fun. Kind of like if you ever saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where he's just running through the Warner Brothers studio lot, or whatever lot he's on, and just through all these different movies, and that's what I was hoping. Completely whiffed on that. The makers of this movie didn't have any reverence for any of the IP that they were putting up on screen. And I will give it a couple of points for, I agree with you, Tass, the heart of the movie. At least they tried to have a bit of a message and a bit of a heart. I know you didn't like it, Lee, because it was pretty dark, but I can point you in the direction of much, much darker movies.
But for kids?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for kids. Ever see Whale Rider? Go check out Whale Rider. It's great. You'll love it. You'll be very, very uncomfortable.
Not on a train. Well, maybe try it on a bus.
Finding Nemo gets off to a pretty rough start, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Very true.
And The Lion King, actually.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Kids can handle the dark stuff.
Yeah. That's right. They can handle it much more than I can sometimes. But anyways, I'm going to give this, for the message that it tried to convey and the fact that 1,000 people worked on this thing, so I don't want to shit on them too badly, and I liked the voice acting, I'm going to give it a 4.
4
out of 10.
Out of 10. Okay. I'm right there with you guys. I'm going back between a 3, 4, and 5, so I'm right there. I'll also, I'll bump it up. No. I'll go 4. I can't go 5. I can't say this is an average movie. I think I was just ultimately super disappointed with it. I thought it was going to be better. I thought LeBron was going to be better. I'm with you, JD, all that thing about, they're going to be able to go through all these movies. Yeah, I thought it would be better. I thought it would be more well done. And it was more like, here's your checklist. Just make sure they show up for 10 to 15 seconds. Matrix, Mad Max, whatever, all these movies, all these shows. Like, just get them in there. They don't have to make any sense at all. And it was like, oh, okay. It was like sort of pointless. And then, it just left me going, I wish I was watching that movie instead, because this is sort of boring. And it was long. It's way too long for a kid's movie. I don't know how long the average kid's movie is nowadays, but is it 2 hours?
Maybe 2 hours.
I don't know. It seems long. And it felt long, especially in the movie theater. So,
how was their reaction in the theater? Were there laughs? Were they loving it?
Very similar to that one review I read. It was mad quiet.
Wow.
There was not many laughs, though. There are not many funny lines in this.
Yep.
Who was Ernie with? Who was the comedian he was with?
Lil Rel.
Yeah, they were good. There were like some chuckles. The Michael B. Jordan, sure. You could see it sort of coming a mile away, but it was funny because it was him. And, some people laughed at that. And then the odd little line, I laughed at some of the like really super insidey basketball jokes. Nobody else made a peep. It was quiet. And if you've ever been to a movie theater in Atlanta, Georgia, it's not usually quiet.
Rare. Yeah.
It's a damn party. And it was like a morgue. It was quiet. It just wasn't that funny. It just, it truly wasn't. And I thought it would be way funnier, especially with LeBron. I thought having, more acting chops, or at least enough to be a little zanier. And like Trey said, making fun of himself, he's fine with that. And there was some of that, but I just thought it would be way more extreme. So 4 for me. I hope we don't have to watch this until 25 years from now. When it'll be weird, because I guess in 25 years, some of your kids will be like, Space Jam, A New Legacy's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Maybe.
And people are going to be like, no, it's not. It's like, we're just going to go through the cycle again. Maybe. I don't know. But 4 overall is what I'm going to decide on.
I'm just reading through some of the quotes from the movie here, and they are a lot better written down than they were performed. When LeBron said, with all due respect, this idea is just straight up bad. This algorithm is busted. Algie Rhythm, busted? It's among the worst ideas I've ever heard. Top 5 easily. LeBron could have delivered that. if he was on the shop just chopping it up, he would deliver that line. Like Trey was saying, when he was with Algie Rhythm, where Algie Rhythm was, 10 feet tall, you know, he felt like normal LeBron. Like, normal LeBron is charismatic, as you guys have said. I just, it made me, reading through these made me realize that LeBron could have been a little bit more LeBron-y.
Hey, it's always difficult to do sports comedy. We've talked about that before. You know, I think it is the type of thing where you come up with the line and you write it down. And you're like, oh, that's sort of funny. And then it's delivered or shot. And it's like, this isn't
You do the dialogue funny. First.
Okay, we'll call it there. We've gone way too long for this, obviously way too long a movie, A Space Jam, A New Legacy. Let's hear from you. Are you upset with us? Do you agree with us? Let us know on Twitter at No Dunks Inc. Let us know on Instagram if you want. Let us know in the YouTube comments below this video. You can email us if you're really upset. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We're going to have shows all week. Yeah, the finals are over. That's okay. We'll have shows all week. Leading up to our draft coverage there at the end of the week. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks here on YouTube or Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen to No Dunks. Tass, do you have one particular quote we could sign off with? Maybe your favorite or the weirdest? What do you have in front of you there?
Should I'm not a video game character.
Yeah, there's also the ball player one. You know, the ball players and actors, it just doesn't mix. Where's that one? You listen, guys, I'm a ball player. You know? And athletes acting, that never goes well. I'm sorry, guys. This is all just, it's just not me. No, that's not the best one. Let's,
I can't be tell great. What was you and what was the one?
I know.
Wow, that's acting.
I do coaching. Let's end with.
What about this one, Tassie? Okay. End this one with a bomb, most famous of all quotes. This battle is now over. That's all, folks.
There it is.
Look at him right now. Please, just a quick solo shot for everybody here on YouTube of this man right now. This guy hated Space Jam, A New Legacy, because I saw it on a train.
I love it. I love that this should be a new challenge for you. Like, go on a train and watch Mrs. Doubtfire. Would you like it? Would you like Mrs. Doubtfire on a train?
Yeah, the challenge would be to do that in the quiet carriage as well, you know? See if you can just watch it if you like.
All right, we'll call it there. We'll see you guys later this week. Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.